Dean, let's talk about past life regression for a bit and some cases, celebrated cases, if you would. In some of your research, what have you come across?
Go back to the beginning with this stuff, I guess the case that people remember most is involved a lady called Virginia Tai, who seemed to remember the life of a young Irish girl called Bridie Murphy. That's the first real major case that came to light in the 50s that blew all this stuff up. And that case polarized opinion, and an awful lot of work actually was done to investigate it. And I've looked at a lot of that, but I can't say I'm an expert on it. But all I can say is that it does look very much as if their investigators were able to find out that, in actual fact, this lady had, as a child, had a neighbour who was Irish. I've got an idea, she might even have been called Bridie Murphy herself. But anyway, all the songs that this girl knew and a lot of the information she came up with supposedly had come from this childhood acquaintance. And so it looks as if that's not a particularly strong case, and that it can be explained by what they refer to as cryptomnesia. In other words, memories that were normally acquired sometimes in childhood, and that basically the subject has forgotten about ever having acquired those memories, and therefore when they come out with stuff under hypnosis, it sounds as if it's a genuine past life, but in fact it isn't.
I see. Okay.
So the Bridie Murphy case is probably not a strong one. The next set of cases that came up were in the late 60s, over here in Wales, in fact, in the United Kingdom, and a quite elderly past life regression therapist called Arnold Bloxham. And a BBC radio producer called Geoffrey Everson, who was pretty much a skeptic himself, for one reason or another went down to interview Bloxham and became so impressed by what he found in Bloxham's tapes, etc., that he decided to make a television documentary featuring one of Bloxham's main, most impressive subjects. It was a lady called, they gave her the pseudonym Jane Evans, although that wasn't her real name. And Jane Evans had had a number of different regressions with Bloxham, four or five different lives that really stood out. One in particular, a life of a persecuted Jewess in 11th century York in the north of England. Another one as the wife of a tutor to a fairly senior Roman official in Roman Britain. And another one as a sort of a maidservant, possibly stroke lover, to Jacques Coeur, who was the in the Middle Ages, in Middle Age France, he was a very, very wealthy financier, and supposedly the second most powerful person in the country. Anyway, with all three of these regressions, she was coming up with very, very certainly a lot of detail, but also what Everson thought was pretty obscure detail. And certainly if you read the cases, as I did, you think, well, this is pretty impressive. And Everson wrote a book about this as well as doing a documentary, and he talks about all of the different conventional sources that could have been used. You know, the only places where some of this information was available. And, you know, builds a very strong case to suggest that, you know, that this woman really, it's the chances of her having read all of these different obscure sources for these different lives are very, very remote. And I myself was pretty much convinced that this must be a very strong set of cases until very recently, when I was doing a little bit more digging. And in fact, if I can just make a quick plug, the reason I was doing some digging was to write a new little book called The Little Book of the Soul. Which I've just released, this is not a commercial advert because I'm releasing the book as a not-for-profit exercise, which is obviously quite a rare thing.
That is rare.
And so I'm through my website, I'm selling these little books of the soul for eight of them at £10 for eight. And the idea is that people, if they like the book, should pass it on and give it as a gift. And especially with the festive season coming up, I'm hoping that I can really get things moving with that to try and give people more information about this rational spiritual approach And it's a nice, easy little book to read. I've had a lot of feedback from lots of people who've helped me with putting it together. It's got all of these stories that I'm talking about in it, and it's a nice and readable book with a bit of analysis to pull it together. So I'm hoping that people will be interested in that in the run-up to the festive season. And so that's The Little Book of the Soul, and it's available from www.ianlawton.com and not for profit. Anyway, sorry for the diversion, but the reason to mention that is that I was doing a little bit more research just to really try and make sure I was comfortable with what was going into this little book of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I discovered a couple of sources on the internet when you look up things like these Arnold, the Jane Evans case with Arnold Bloxham on the internet, you find the same sort of couple of paragraphs of information that's been copied and put onto loads and loads and loads of different sites. But every now and then you see an extra little bit of information that gives you a clue that maybe something else was going on. And finally, by tracing all of these slightly more rarer little bits of information, it led me to a couple of books written by skeptics, basically, who'd had a look much more closely at the Bloxham case. And this isn't very well documented on the internet, which, you know, I find that quite surprising, but it really isn't. So there's an awful lot of people who still think these are strong cases. But in actual fact, and it's fascinating, what somebody was able to do was to establish that the sources of cryptomnesia for this lady Jane Evans's recall for these lives was not from any non-fiction books, which is what we naturally would tend to assume that is where the information would have to have come from, but it was from fictional books. There's one particular fictional book about the Roman life where the lead character, who's called Livonia, I think if my memory serves me correct, and all of the names of the other lead characters, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, are all identical to this fictional book, which I forget the name of it, but it was written in the 1950s sometimes, just as a novel. And it would appear that this lady must have read this novel, on the face of it at least, completely forgotten she'd ever read it. And then all these details were coming back again under trance, but it wasn't a genuine past life at all. It was just her own imagination.
And in the trance state, she basically felt that these were her past lives.
Correct, or at least that's how it was interpreted, but in actual fact, it wasn't. So, you know, the reason for saying this is because I like to try and produce a fairly balanced approach with this rational spirituality, and I think it's very important to make sure you look at all sides of everything, and
How do we know then that all past life regressions aren't this kind of thing?
Well, because I have other cases, and the strongest cases I think that are on record come from a psychologist called Peter Ramster, an Australian called Peter Ramster, who wrote a couple of books, and more importantly than that, produced a fantastic documentary back in the 1970s and early 80s. And he has two or three cases that he wrote about and that are covered by this documentary that are absolutely startling, and that I don't think any of these explanations, including even fictional sources, could hold water to try and explain them.